Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Hey Apex Church, I'm Andrew.
And I'm Louise.
And it's an absolute joy to be sending this message to you today. I know it's going to bless you. And when Pastors Neil and Phyllis asked us to share on relationships, we thought, fantastic.
Yeah.
And I thought, I was really encouraged because I'm married to a lady who is brilliant with relationships. Is that right?
I do my best.
Yeah, she's amazing. She's amazing. Well, we would normally be with you at least once a year and we're really missing seeing all your wonderful faces. But listen, why don't you just say a quick hi to us virtually in the comments anywhere? And I promise that as soon as we can, we'll be up there to the northeast. It's the northeast coastline of Scotland.
That's right, yes.
Where they do the best fish and chips.
Absolutely.
And the air is beautiful.
Absolutely.
And the people are wonderful. We'd love to see you all really, really soon. But listen, let's talk about relational wellness or relationships that bring wellness in our lives. Now, I know you're on a series of wellness.
Yes.
So we're focusing on the topic of relationships. Just to help you be whole and to be strong in this area of life. And so what we've done is we've jotted down what we've learned along the way, things to do with relationships that have meant that we can stay healthy and stay well.
That's
and
right.
I've entitled them 5 Relationship Realities. Why don't you say that with me just to make sure that you're engaged.
Five relationship realities.
And I'm going to kick it off and then you're going to bring all the wisdom.
I'll try.
Is that all right?
I'll try. No pressure.
Come on, tell us. Who do you think has the most wisdom? Tell us in the comments. If you think the answer is me, say A, Pastor Andrew has all the wisdom. Or if you think it's B, say Pastor Louise. And let's just then count those up and let me know. Let me know when I win. All right. Okay, here we go.
He always has to win.
Number one, this is something that we've really experienced and we've lived through.
Definitely, yes.
And so this is the gospel honest truth. This is going to happen. Number one, there are relationships in your future on assignment from God.
Mm.
In other words,
yes.
God has placed people in your future for you. So this means that we shouldn't panic.
That's right.
We shouldn't stress about not having the right relationships. God is in your future.
That's right.
One of the ways that we saw this was when we stepped out of the church we were pastoring in London, which was Hillsong Church, which many of you know. That was how long ago?
Seven and a half years ago.
We stepped out of that church to do something brand new and start a brand new church down in Hertfordshire. And we really needed pastored. And so we approached Pastor Neil and Phyllis and said, would you pastor us?
Yeah.
And now up until that point, we'd been friends.
Very sporadically.
But do you know what? God placed Neil and Phyllis, pastors, our pastors and our friends, in our lives for that time. We had no idea that they'd be there. Now, we could have stressed about that.
Mm.
We could have, that anxiety could have stressed us. But you know what? God has people in your future.
That's right, yes. And I experienced this as well because, like I said, we moved to London 11 years ago and I didn't know anybody, didn't know a soul and had 4 little ones and was really worried about making friends, was a little bit shy and so.
Yes.
But I know there's people that God brought to me at that point that are really close friends with me today. And
yes.
I know that they were God-given. And the same when we moved to Hertfordshire, we didn't know anybody.
Yes.
And, you know, my friends seemed all over the world and no one on my doorstep. And God brought people to me who are lifelong friends. And so don't worry about that. Just be open-hearted. And, you know, there's a great example of this when Jesus sent Ananias into Paul's path. You find the story in Acts chapter 9.
I love
And
this.
Jesus had told Paul, who was then called Saul, to go into the city and wait. And Jesus spoke to Ananias in a vision, actually, and told him to go to the street, which is called Straight, and say, and ask in the house of Judah for one called Saul. Now, the thing is, Saul of Tarsus was not somebody that, if you were a Christian, that you wanted to seek, because he was killing Christians
at
the time.
You avoided him,
avoid him because he would been persecuting the Christians. But the Lord had told Saul that he was a chosen vessel to him and that he was going to bear his name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And it says that when Ananias went into Saul and laid his hands on him, the scales of dead tissue on the surface of his eyes fell off because he'd been blinded in the encounter with God, and he looked up at Ananias. So, you know, the great lesson there is, isn't it, that Ananias could have said, no way.
Absolutely.
There's no way I'm going there because I don't care, you know, if I don't care, God, that you're telling me to do this. Yeah. I think I would have been like that. I would have been like, I'm not going there. But he was obedient, and he was actually played such a massive part then in Saul's conversion.
Yeah.
And we know what happened after that. He became Paul, wrote most of the New Testament. So we should never write anyone off.
No.
We should always be open because God knows, even if they look like the most unlikely person, God has somebody for us.
And we're sharing this thought because I just really felt that there'd be someone watching who you've been trying to force relationships.
Yeah.
Or you've been concerned about not having the right relationships. Or perhaps, I don't know any more than that. I didn't get any more than that. But we could assume it could be a future spouse or a future business person or just someone that you're anxious about in your future. I just really felt to say to you today, don't worry.
Yeah.
God has placed someone in your future. God has placed the right relationships in your future for you. The Bible says he's gone before us. He knows the beginning from the end. He has your life under control. Don't let fear or anxiety take over because your relationships are not right.
That's
Have you ever tried to, well, I don't know, loosen something?
I usually get you to do it.
Yeah, you normally get me to do it. Sometimes you just can't loosen that jar or that nut or that bolt. And you think, what's wrong with it? It's locked. Well, actually, it's not that it's locked. It's just we're trying to do it in our own strength. And it's amazing when you turn it the other way.
That's right.
You realize, I've been trying to do it my way. Let God do it his way when it comes to relationships.
Absolutely.
And the security of knowing that God has the right people right ahead.
That's right. And there's a verse here, a great verse from Proverbs. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, it says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. I love that scripture. It's so comforting that God is in control.
It's not a scripture, but I wrote this down now. Not to said, if you want God to open and close the doors to the right relationships, take your hands off the handle.
Yeah, that's so
good. Did you hear that? If you want God to open the doors and close the doors to right relationships, take your hands off the handle.
Right.
Let God work.
Mm.
Ask him.
Yes, that's
right. All
right,
number two.
Number two says, you must set the ground rules of your relationships or have them set for you.
Absolutely. See, every home we have ground rules, right? I don't know about your home, but in the Cherry household, we have ground rules, like such as...
You don't say shut up.
We don't say that in our house. You can say stop talking or be quiet, but you never say, I don't even say it right now. It's like, you know, you may have rules, ground rules in your home, like we take our shoes off at the door. If you're very touchy about the new carpets, we always eat at the dinner table. We don't have TV on when we're eating. All that, all them kind of ground rules. Well, you've got to set ground rules for your relationships. If you want wellness in relationships, this sounds so simple, but it's so profound and so important. You've got to have ground rules, and if you don't set ground rules in your relationships, someone else will set them for you. What do we mean by this?
That's right. You know, because there's a great quote here that you've put, which is, be careful what you tolerate because you're teaching people how to treat you.
Yes.
And that's true, because if you don't set ground rules for the relationship, people will kind of
walk
all over you, run ramshackle, is that the word, all over the relationships. You know, even like really simple things, I think, like, you know, not messaging back. I just think that's one of my bugbears. I just think it's really rude.
If Louise ever messages you, make sure you message back. Otherwise, you go onto a special little list.
It's not true. And I know I've been guilty of it. We all have those moments where we forget, you know, out of the blue. Like we've read a message in the car. We know we shouldn't be typing back, so we don't respond then, and then we forget. Totally fine. But when you are habitually doing that, just not responding, I just think it's really, really rude. And so I think, you know, that's like a really basic one.
Yes.
But I think that's a great ground rule.
Yes.
In a relationship.
Are you just letting people walk all over you? I was thinking about this in the Bible, and I came to Galatians. In fact, a little secret there, Galatians is one of my favorite books in the Bible, isn't it?
I
just love Galatians because it's all about Paul, the church leader, the church apostle, sorting out the mess of church life, which is pretty much what pastors do. When people ask that question, what do you do all day? We sort out mess all of
That's
the time.
Right.
In Galatians 3, you've got this crazy mix of different, you've got the Jews and the Gentiles coming together. The Jews weren't happy because the Gentiles were almost, they saw them as getting an easy ride. They didn't have to be circumcised, didn't have to do all this stuff. And Paul said, just accept Jesus, we all make it to heaven, keep it simple, stupid. There wasn't a lot of kissing going on. Perhaps a Glasgow kiss was going on. You'll be able to relate to that. A Glasgow kiss was going on. But Paul had to set some ground rules amongst the what was happening with, because the relational wellness was not good in that church.
Right.
And so he put the ground rules down. We have to do that in our lives. Mm. We have to make sure that people are not, here's a term that I use, I don't know if it's familiar with you, but sucking the life out of you.
Right.
Literally.
Yes, that's right.
Who are, they all they do is they take from you. Well, I want to tell you, you're not Superman, you're not Superwoman, we all need to be well ourselves.
That's right, yeah.
So what ground rules are you setting in your relationships?
Yeah, it's boundaries, isn't it?
It's boundaries.
Well. And it's okay to say no. It's sometimes we can be those people that we don't want to, we kind of have that people pleasing thing going on, and we don't want to say no to anybody because we don't want to let anybody down, but actually we're at our limit.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we want to be those Christians who help each other and are there for each other, but we've got to do that within healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
So we've got to make sure we're not overextending ourselves at the detriment of ourselves or our family. You know, so put some healthy boundaries in there and don't be afraid to say no when you really can't do it.
Yeah. I hope this is okay for you. It's not very preachy today. It's more of like, let's just have a conversation.
That's right. I think
and,
that's
fine. And on this point, I've written this down. The culture of your relationships will be shaped by the worst behavior you're willing to accept. I'm going to say that
one
more time because it's good. You need to listen to this. The culture of your relationships will be shaped by the worst behavior you are willing to accept.
Hmm.
Make sense?
Absolutely.
It's like
I
a kid.
So.
It's like having the kids in your home.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
What you let your kids get away with will determine how they treat you in the future.
That's
you know,
right.
If we see some parents with their teenagers and their teenagers speak to them in a certain way and they look at us as if to say, I don't know how they got like that. And we want to say, we do, because you taught them to speak to you like that.
Because you allowed it.
Because you allowed it. So the way that we the behaviors, the way that we respond to people are teaching people how to treat us.
That's right, yes.
Does that make sense? I'm getting a bit mongled
up there. It's what you're saying. The culture of your relationships is shaped by what you're willing to accept.
Yes.
So if you accept, you don't follow through, if you talk about the parent-child relationship, if they're constantly talking back to you and being cheeky, you can tell them that that's not acceptable. But if there's no consequence with that, they'll just think, oh, well, they'll just tell me off next time, but I'll keep doing it. It's no big deal.
Yes.
But if there's a consequence and a follow through with that, that behavior soon will, they'll realize, I don't want to do that anymore because I don't want to suffer
like
the consequences.
And we're talking about relationships really practically. We're talking about that person who never turns up on time, who doesn't value your time.
Yeah.
If you don't address that, what you're teaching them is that your time has no value.
That's right.
And this is harsh for some people to hear, but that's a reality. That person who always speaks about you in a negative term in the group, that jokey way, and thinks it's okay.
Yeah.
They might think it's okay because you've always let it be okay.
Right.
But then you take those words, you take them home, and that relationship has then not become a relationship that's going to help your wellness. It's damaging your wellness.
Mm.
And so, hey, put your foot down, speak
to
somebody.
That's right. And there's some great little points here just to encourage you, some non-negotiables.
Yeah.
Number one, invest in relationships that add positive value to your life.
Yes.
Do you feel better for being with that person, or do you come away feeling weighed down, feeling depressed, feeling negative? That's not a good relationship in your life. So either change that relationship or think about whether you want that relationship at all.
Absolutely.
The second one is, don't compromise on the convictions of your heart.
This is a big one.
Especially young people. Can I say to you, if you're in relationships with people, I don't necessarily mean romantic relationships. It can be friendships as well. It can be both, where they're influencing you in a way that you don't feel comfortable with. But don't sacrifice your convictions to stay in that relationship. You know, it's not worth it. If true friends will respect what your beliefs and your convictions and right relationships, if you're going out with a boy or a girl and they don't respect your convictions, they're not the right person for you. Cut that off.
Get rid of them.
Cut that off.
Or just send their number to me. I'll sort them out for you.
That's right. And lastly, ask God who he wants you to spend time with. You might think, I don't want to cut those relationships off, though, because they're my only friends. Who am I going to spend time with? God will bring you people along who will be the right one. Go back to point one. People will, right. God will have people
this
for
is
you.
Really practical. I hope you're getting
Super
this.
Practical.
We just want to just be really open and honest and say what we've learned. We've learned that there are relationships in our future on assignment from God. We're not going to stress about who's going to be in our future. God's got it handled.
That's
you
right.
must set the ground rules for your relationships or have them set for you. Have the courage. And number three, forgiveness is to relationships like oil is to an engine.
Mm.
What am I saying there? Forgiveness is to relationships like oil is to an engine. This is number three. What I'm saying is, if you don't have forgiveness in your relationships, it ain't going to work.
That's right.
It's going to grind to a halt.
That's right. And, you know, let's face it. We often, when we talk about forgiveness, the reason we don't forgive is because we feel like the other person doesn't deserve forgiveness. They've hurt
us. And they don't very often.
And they don't. Yeah, they often don't. And often, especially when they don't ask for forgiveness, I think that's the hardest. It's a lot easier to forgive someone if someone's saying...
Or they don't think they need it.
Yeah, if someone's saying, I'm sorry, if someone's saying, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that, it's a lot easier then to forgive them. The difficulty is when that person doesn't think they've done anything wrong, but you've still got to forgive them.
Right.
Because let me tell you, forgiveness is a gift you give yourself.
Yeah, say that again because that's good. Are you listening? Listen to this.
Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself because when you don't forgive, more often than not, that other person is blissfully ignorant.
Is that why you keep forgiving me?
I keep forgiving you,
I don't understand why she keeps it because I've done nothing wrong, but she keeps forgiving
Seriously.
Me. I honestly know.
This is why I've got lots of practice.
I honestly know now. It's so you make yourself feel better.
Lots of practice at this because the other person, who shall remain nameless, is blissfully ignorant at the fact that you're even annoyed with them. But that unforgiveness is building up in your heart. And if you let unforgiveness go unchecked, it will take root in your heart and it will become a root of bitterness.
Yes.
And that will eat away at you and it will ultimately destroy you. It'll cause you to behave in ways that you wouldn't normally behave, to think and say things that you wouldn't normally do. So let me tell you, make a habit of forgiving. You don't
you
feel like it, but do
if
it.
If you can't find forgiveness, you don't have to be best friends with those people. There's lots of people that, you know, let's be honest, I've unfollowed on Instagram, I've blocked on Instagram, I never want to see them again. But I'm not harboring any kind of resentment.
No.
I'm like, I'm all for it. I'm not going to bed on a night thinking about them, thinking,
no.
I've left it with the Lord. I said, God, you can have vengeance on my behalf, but I forgive them.
Mm.
One of the challenges is if you don't forgive them, your wound won't heal.
That's right.
And we've always said, haven't we, better to have scars than open wounds.
That's right.
In fact, if you're a young guy growing up and you've got a scar, it's kind of a mark of manlyhood in some way, isn't it? It's like, yeah, I've got a scar. That's when I cut myself climbing the tree. You know, it's that kind
You've got one on your face.
I've got a little one on my face. Camera won't be able to pick it up because I've got makeup on. No, we're not that professional. I haven't. I always look this good. I know. But where are we talking about? Scars.
Scars.
I had a scar, but what that did is I think I was 2 years old, 3 years old. I tripped over it wasn't in the army or fighting
in a fight or anything.
I actually tripped over a paving stone and cut off my face and had to go to the hospital.
Not cut off your face.
Cut open.
Oh, cut open your face.
Oh, give me.
It's like, oh my gosh.
And I had to have it stitched up. The truth is, if the doctors had not sufficiently worked on it so that it would heal, it would
be a wound.
It would be a wound, an open wound. And when you don't have forgiveness, we keep leaving the wound open.
That's
for
right.
all
yes.
the bacteria and germs to get in. Better to have a scar than an open wound.
That's right. So, so true.
I've got a scripture here, but I had something in my eye. Please forgive me. We're not stopping the camera.
Please forgive me.
We're going to keep going.
So it's fine.
Yeah. Here we go. Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another. There's a revelation.
Yeah.
Hello.
That's right. That's right.
If we all just started there, we want to read the book of Revelation, we want to understand when the Lord's come. Forget that. Just do what it says in Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. There it is, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Great reminder.
We're running out of time here. Number four is...
Carrying on nicely.
Carry on nicely. Choose to be kind.
Yeah, be kind
Whatever
in your relationships.
Whatever happened to kindness in the world?
That's right, yeah. And it doesn't cost anything to be kind. I know that's like an old cliche. You know, it sounds like that your mum would say to you. But it's true. It doesn't cost anything to be kind.
Yes.
Be kind to people, even if they don't deserve it. Be kind. You might just revolutionise somebody's day.
That word kindness in the New Testament, I won't try and pronounce the Greek, because I'm not great at it, let's be honest, all right? I can barely speak English. This word can describe gentleness, goodness, uprightness, generosity, and gracious, and being more pleasant. All of those things
amazing.
We need in our relationships if they are going to lead to health.
That's right.
Anxiety, this is Proverbs 12:25. Anxiety in a man's heart, what does it do? It weighs him down.
Yes.
But a good word makes it glad. So think about every relationship that you're in right now. Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, family, mom, dad, work colleague, friend from college, workmate, guy you go for a drink with, guy you play football with. I wonder if this week I could set you a challenge. Mm. And I promise you it will make the relationship better. It'll make it healthy and well. Mm. Be kind.
Yes.
Say something nice.
Right. Yeah.
Here's three quick things about kindness I want to share with you.
Firstly, kindness is good for your soul. Proverbs 11:17 says, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. So it's actually going to make you feel better.
I love that.
If you are kind.
Because we benefit.
That's
when
right.
We're kind, the Bible says, it makes us feel better.
Yeah, you feel good.
It's kind of like when you introduce a friend, isn't it? There's a bonus. Like just for introducing a friend, you might get a discount or a bonus. It's that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We get a bonus too when we're kind.
And B is kindness gets God's attention.
Yeah, scripture.
Scripture is Proverbs 19 and verse 17. Whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. So God,
fantastic.
God sees it when we're kind, and he loves that. Just like how we love it when our children are kind, when we see kindness in our children.
Yes.
God sees that in us, and he loves it. And C is kindness draws people to Jesus. Romans 2 verse 4 says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance.
God's kindness leads people to repentance, and our kindness leads people to God.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple.
How good is that?
Oh,
we've
got
five.
Time for one more. Are you enjoying these? They're really practical. I hope you can do something with them. Don't just leave them on this video, but do something with. Number five, check the manifest on your friendship. See what I did there? A little hyphen in there. Friendship. I thought you could relate to ships, the Northeast.
That's right.
Check the manifest on your friendship. Here's what I'm saying here. Not everyone who is currently in your world needs to stay in your world.
Mm.
Put this in brackets. I wasn't sure whether to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Have the courage to throw some people overboard.
Wow. Not literally.
Not literally. But we all have a friendship.
That's
those
right.
People we allow into our lives. But not everyone's welcome, and not everyone should stay.
I love this quote which says, you become like the five people you spend the most time with, so choose wisely.
Yes.
So I know for us, for our kids, you know, sometimes when they would be with certain friends, they would come home and we would be like, why are you behaving like that?
Yeah.
Why are you talking to us like that? That's not who you are. And it's because they'd maybe been with a friend who, that's how they spoke to their parents, so it rubbed off on them. And we would say, stop being influenced, be an influencer.
Yes.
You need to be a good influence. And it's the same in our relationships.
100%.
We can be around someone who's really negative, and we end up going, why am I being so negative? Ah, that's why.
Yeah.
Because I've been spending so much time with a negative person. We have to be a thermostat.
Galatians 5:7. I'm just conscious of time. I've got my timer down here. How are we doing? Oh, we've got lots of time. We're all right. Because we don't want to go on too long, because Pastor Neil will never ask us to speak again.
True.
No one likes a long
but
preacher.
But he forgives and he's got grace, so I'm hopeful.
Yes. Galatians 5 verse 7 says, you were running so well.
Yeah.
Who hindered you from obeying the truth?
Hmm.
What a great scripture. Again,
so
from
good.
My favorite book in the Bible, Galatians 5:7. You were running so well. In other words, who contaminated you?
Yeah.
In other words, who did you let aboard your friendship?
Yes.
Who did you let? See, who you run with is so, so important. We're all running with somebody.
Yeah.
I remember Andres, great friend of ours, Andres Pinzon. He's from Colombia and he's very passionate, but he's a good athlete as well. I remember once in London where I was trying to get fit. I'm still trying to get fit. It's been a long journey. Anyone say amen to that?
It's a constant journey.
You know that whole, I'm going to get fit this year. I've just started saying, I'm going to get fit this decade.
That's right.
Amen. He took me running, and he was so brilliant to run with because he was so encouraging.
Yeah.
And every now and then he'd turn around and he'd put 10 fingers up. And what he wanted me to say, because I couldn't actually speak, okay? I was like, he started by saying, how do you feel out of 10? And I couldn't speak. So then he'd start putting fingers. Do you feel like a 10? I'd say, I feel like a 1. And then he'd slow the pace down. Then I said, I feel like a 5. Then he'd speed it up. Who you run with
so good
is so important. Who are you running with? Are you running with someone who's lazy and they're holding you back? Are you running with someone who's giving you wrong directions and so they've got you running round the wrong way? Are you running with someone who is not up for the running, who hasn't got the stamina and they keep stopping?
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah.
And so it's so important who we let speak into our lives and who we allow to influence us, because it will either slow us down or it will speed us up. The opposite is true, that if you have great people around you who are encouraging you, who are cheering you on, who are saying you can do this and celebrating you, I think that's so important. Having people in your world who celebrate you. They're not so insecure that they can't give you a compliment or can't encourage you, but they love to encourage and build you up and spur you on. Yeah. That's so, so valuable.
Fab. I wrote this down again. I write a lot of notes in the preach, don't we, that I do, that I'm not sure whether I'll say it on the day, but I'm going to say it anyway because you guys can take it. Respect yourself enough to let someone go who doesn't see your worth.
That's right.
Respect yourself enough to let someone go who doesn't treat you right, who is not respecting your space and doesn't value your worth. In other words, who's on your friendship?
Right.
Is there someone you need to throw overboard? Not literally.
Not literally. Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, that's it. I'm just going to go through them one more time. Can you remember them, Louise? I bet you can't.
I bet I can't.
Can you remember them at home? Number one.
There are relationships in your future on assignment from God.
Can you believe that?
Yes.
Come on, say amen. If you believe.
Amen.
Some of you are believing for a business partner that hasn't turned up yet. Some of you are looking for a spouse. Don't force it. God has someone for you.
That's right.
Someone's looking for a door to open. Wait and let God do that for you. Number two.
You must set the ground rules of your relationships or have them set for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Be tough on what's important to you and don't
set
boundaries.
Them in.
Set boundaries. Number three.
Forgiveness is to relationships like oil is to an engine.
In other words, if you ain't got forgiveness flowing, everything's going to stop. And what's that,
that's
your favourite quote you always say?
Forgiveness is a gift you give yourself.
Yeah. Don't let those people who hurt you camp out in your mind.
That's right.
Leave them where
let
they
them
are.
Let them go.
Number four.
Choose to be kind. Kindness doesn't cost anything.
Yes. Anxiety in a man's heart weighs it down, but a good word makes it glad. And number five.
Check the manifest on your friendship.
Yes, do an audit.
That's right.
Of who's in your life. And these are five things which are really real to us.
Yeah.
They've worked for us and we live them out. They're all grounded in scripture, but it causes us to have the right relationships in our lives. And
Amen.
We don't get it right every time, of course. So not everything goes right every single day. But this is just five tips from us. What do we call it? Five relationship realities or relational
That's
realities
right.
from us to you.
That's right.
We love you so much. We'd love to pray for you. I know it's coming over the airwaves and we recorded this ahead of time. But you know what? I believe the prayer is still powerful.
Amen.
So if you want to enter into this prayer and just, you know, receive the words that we're going to speak over to you, why don't you just I don't know, shut your eyes or, you know, tell the dog to stop barking and get a quiet space and let the Holy Spirit speak into your life right now. And I'm going to ask
That's
the
right.
most spiritual person on the screen to pray. Come on, darling. Amen. Let's pray for everyone at home.
Father, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that it brings truth. We thank you that it brings life today.
Yes.
And Father, I pray for everyone watching today that the truth of your word will permeate their hearts and their souls. It won't just disappear after today and they won't remember it. But I pray, God, it will sink into their hearts and their spirits so that they'll be able to apply it in their lives, Lord.
Yes.
I pray, God, that you'll help us to have healthy relationships founded in you, Lord. And I pray, God, a blessing over everyone today in Apex Church. We love you. We pray for Neil and Phyllis. We pray a blessing over them as the pastors today and everybody else in leadership. We just pray a blessing in your favor, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And if we were there in person, we'd start prophesying over you. But time is running. My little clock timer down here saying, that's it, you're over. So perhaps next time we're with you, we'll get to spend a little bit more time praying for you, prophesying over you, speaking life into you, having a coffee afterwards with you. But until then, I want to say God bless and we'll see you soon.
Hey, my friend, I wonder, do you have a relationship with Jesus? I'm not asking the question right now, do you attend church? I'm not even asking the question if you're a good person. I'm sure you are. But can you truly say on this Valentine's Day that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? I'm also talking right now perhaps to some of you that you know you're a Christian, you love Jesus, but maybe your relationship is cold. Maybe you're not walking with him as you should. We all have moments where, hey, we're just aware that things are not right. And that's why I love communion. That's why I love that we can just sort of recalibrate, come back to Father, come back to home. And I really want to give you this opportunity right now. On this special day, you don't know Jesus, but you say, I want Christ to be center of my life. Oh, hey, come on. Why don't you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner, but you're my Savior. I pray right now, God, that you would forgive me of my sins, that you would help me to walk with you, and to know that in you I am a new creation. Old things, they're gone. All things become new because I'm making you Lord of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.